Okay, so the second one, which I see happening to so many different types of people, is what we call confirmation bias. And confirmation bias is essentially when people focus or seek information that supports their prior beliefs. So quite similarly, if you're doing research on a stock, and you believe that this business is a good business and you're paying the right price,
Hello and welcome to the Woke Finance Podcast, a podcast discussing all things finance and all things finance related. It's your boy Peter and I'm with my co-host, my bro Jax. How are you today?
Yes, Peter, I'm doing very well, doing very good. Lots of information, lots of financial stuff going on. We've had the spring budget and we've had some numbers come out in America. So I'm really trying to digest everything that's going on as we go into Q2.
CPI data. We've also had recent data here in the UK about growth from January as well. And it's looking, if things go well as planned, we'll be out of the technical recession that we just about went into.
Yeah, I mean, they've been calling it a technical recession. They've been calling it a shallow recession. Either way, it's a recession, but let's see.
Yeah, let's see indeed, man. A massive shout out to our listeners wherever you are in the world. We see, we hear you, man, and we appreciate you. A reminder that you can also check out our podcast episodes on all podcast platforms, but also now on YouTube. Do check that out. It's fairly recent that we put on all our audio episodes on YouTube. So do check that out, get the views up, play as and wherever, share it with others and all of that good stuff. But Jax, today we're going to be talking about one of our favorite topics, which is linking to investing. And in particular, actually, when we talk about investing, there's so many things you can put your money into. And for our long-time listeners, you've heard us talk about things like mutual funds, ETFs, all of that good stuff. Today we're going to be focusing on stocks, actually. And Jax, I think you definitely had a period where you was probably super excited about putting money into individual companies, as was I. And I think it's, when we are doing that, it's very important. Well, number one, we know what we are doing and we're not just excited and triggered happy and just putting our money into companies without knowing what we're doing. But this episode is going to be actually based on that, Jax. Many people tend to put their money in stocks. However, what stats show us is that many people are actually bad stock pickers.
It is true that when we look at the data, we know that the stock market has been going up for the past 100 years, which is what we have the data for. But many people actually lose money in a stock market, and the question is why?
And that's what we're going to be focusing on today, man. Why on earth, we always tell people you need to invest, man. You need to, get on this journey. But on the other side of things, for the listener, I'm hearing this thinking, okay, why should I invest? So many of us are bad stock pickers. So let's actually go into the why, and then we can wrap up on what we should be doing about this with this bit of education that we're probably going to go through. So, Jax, first of all, and you just probably confirmed, is it actually true that most people are bad stock pickers, in your opinion?
I think in terms of being a stock picker, which is actually picking companies and knowing which companies are the great companies, I don't think most people are bad stock pickers in that perspective. But there is truth in knowing that a lot of people lose money when they do stock pick. And the question is it because they lack education? Is there a lack of experience? Is it because they're just unlucky? Do they not have the resources to really analyze stocks very properly? So the question is, why do people struggle? And I think, or now I've recognized and I know that it has nothing to do with any of these things, but it really comes down to our behavior and our psychology.
Let's go deeper into that, because when we're talking about being, bad stock pickers, essentially a large reason why people go into putting their money into individual companies is because they believe they can beat the general markets. They can get 10%+ per year by putting their money into individual companies. But let's actually go into that, Jax. I think one of the things that you just said, a lot of the reasons why people fail at being in the market via stock picking is the psychological side of things, so the behavioral side of things. Let's talk a bit more about that.
Yeah. So a lot of it comes down to what we call our psychological biases. And we can split them into two main categories. One is our cognitive errors, and the other one is our emotional biases. So, even in the cognitive errors, we can split it down into two different categories in that group as well. One is to do with our belief perseverance. And what that means is we have a certain way of mis kind of processing information, and that comes down to just our belief systems and how hard we like to hold on to them. And there are different types. So what I'll do, Peter, is I'll give you two examples that our listeners can actually see if they relate to, and I definitely can relate to some of these as well. So one is something called conservatism bias. What that is let's say you are about to buy a stock. You do your research and all your analysis shows that this is a great company and you are buying it at a good price. So your initial view is quite rational, okay? But the issue with this, or what conservative bias is when new information is provided to you that should make you think twice about buying that stock, or whether it can be a thing where, hey, you've just got new information that makes you want to think about trimming the stock. The truth of the matter is your response rate is very slow, right? It's quite lagged because you really want to hold on to your initial view of that company. You become conservative with the pace for which you actually react to that news. So that's conservatism bias.
So
The
Jack,
other one, which I see so
Jack, so I was just gonna say, so on that, let's say you've got a company, they've been around 10+ years or so. You put in money into them, over the last few years, there's been so much hype about this particular company. You've read some of the reports and stuff, and you're quite impressed with them. However, then recently, there's been news that this company's struggling. They're burning cash. They've got so much debt. And there's even rumors and whispers of bankruptcy based on like proper analysts going in and checking the numbers. But because of conservatism bias, you kind of start to react a bit slow to that and you don't really pay attention to that really. Is that kind of a good example?
yes, absolutely. So it's to do with the reaction and the speed of reaction. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It could be that, the management team, the ethos is not exactly the same as it used to be. And you can acknowledge it and be aware of it. And it could be that ultimately you do make a decision, but you take your time because, you just want to be conservative with your decision. It's something that happens to a lot of
Course.
people. Okay. So the second one, which I see happening to so many different types of people, is what we call confirmation bias. And confirmation bias is essentially when people focus or seek information that supports their prior beliefs. So quite similarly, if you're doing research on a stock, and you believe that this business is a good business and you're paying the right price, all you're looking for is for information that confirms and affirms your initial beliefs. So it could be that you only read articles about that company, you only read articles about that sector. You're only interested in information that kind of tells you that you've made a good decision. And the flip side is when new information comes on board. You really don't want to you really don't want to look at it. You don't want to accept it. You don't want to give it the same level of weight that you should do, for example. And this happens a lot outside of investing. This happens a lot in people's lives. So you may have just an initial belief, something that you've been brought up on, ideologies, And you may, hear a different, side of the argument, but because you already hold those beliefs earlier on, you don't really want to even engage in certain conversations. You only speak to certain types of people that, share the same values as you, for example. So this is confirmation bias. It's so popular. It happens to a lot of people. It's why, let's say someone believes that Arsenal is the best team in the world. And, I can come in with all the arguments in the world, all the facts and figures to explain why Arsenal is definitely not the best team in the world. But because you have confirmation bias, you're only willing to speak to Arsenal supporters about Arsenal. And if someone else comes to you, even with, absolutely accurate information, you're not willing to actually take it on board because it doesn't confirm your bias. You rather speak to someone who was there when Arsenal won the Premier League many, many years ago, because that confirms your bias.
No, I fully hear that, man. You can say the same about Man United, But yeah, I fully get what you're saying on that. And you know what though? Funny enough, like it's earnings seasons right now. So well, back end of earnings seasons for small cap companies. Large cap companies have been released their earnings probably over a month ago. But if you have money in a particular company, you might re read their latest quarterly report, right? And let's say you tend to use, I don't know, eight metrics to determine how good a company is doing. But because of confirmation bias, you only really be watching that. Even if there's only like two that hit the targets, you'll be looking at that and holding on to that. Meanwhile, there's six other metrics that have completely failed that company. That company's got lots of unmanageable debt, and it's very clear that they're sinking. But you hold on to the really good stuff about what you read in that report, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, that you've hit that spot on.
But no, that makes sense, and this all falls under cognitive errors around belief, perseverance, and this is again still on cognitive errors, right? What's the next part to this around cognitive errors?
Yeah, so the first one was, as you said, it was cognitive errors with a focus on belief perseverance, right? So persevering with your belief system, even though information challenges your initial beliefs. The second type of cognitive error is to do with how we process information, right? So we have our processing biases, and the most popular one that I can think of is one called anchoring. Right. And this is the one that catches out all those people that go on sales and spend all their money because sales are on. Okay. So for me to explain it, let's say you go into a shop and you're going to buy some new trainers, and you see that these trainers used to cost £100 or $100, and now they cost, let's say, £75 or $75. Because the first price that you saw was £100, you anchor your, you anchor this to the actual item. So you believe that that is the actual price. It's anchored in your head, right? And then when you see the drop, you price it relative to what you have anchored it at. And so you say, hey, this is actually worth it, right? I'm actually saving 25%, etc. Okay. Now, the flip side is, and why this is a very common bias, is that it could very well be that on another day, if you walked into that same shop and you saw the price of that trainer just to be there at £60, you would not be interested, right? You wouldn't be interested. In fact, I would go one step further to say, if that trainer is, now said it was £60, but now it costs £65, you'd be like, no way would I buy this, right? Right. However, when you compare it to the initial scenario of dropping from 100 to 75, that is actually still more pricey than going from 60 to 65. So using that exaggerated example, we see that as human beings, we tend to anchor certain things, and we tend to make decisions relatively on those things. So we have to be very careful of that. Relating that to the stock market, it could very well be that you own a stock that has gone up, and if you look at the trajectory of that stock, it's been going up and up and up and up, and then it drops down by, let's say, 10%. right? You may see that as an opportunity to, so-called buy the dip. Okay. However, it could very well be that just because it's dropped by 10% doesn't mean that the share price has dropped to the right intrinsic value. Here, what you've done is you've anchored to the all-time high prices. And just because it's dropped 10% doesn't mean that it's actually pricing an attractive value. Chances are, again, if you didn't have that anchoring in place, and you just saw a stock that has been going up and up and up and up, and it was at the price today, chances are you will not be buying a new position into it.
I love that so much, man. It's so easy, and this happens all the time in this space as well, where people get so fixated on a number or a price of a the share price of a company, without actually understanding, as you just said, the intrinsic value. And the reason why it's so interesting, because people can hold on to that one number for many, many years. And the value of a company changes over time as well. So it's so important you really know and understand what you're doing, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No, I love that. I love that. This is really, really important information for our listeners, man, because at the end of the day, we always talk about finance, man. It's not all about the numbers and just in general, just knowing your numbers as well. That makes up, what, 20%, but a large part of finance is behavior. We're talking 70. 70 or so to 80% or so, in my opinion anyway. And it's understanding these things which help us to be better at approaching our finances. Obviously, in this circumstances, it's about being stock pickers or so. But now, Jax, you've touched on that. What else? I think that was the first half of the psychological biases that we wanted to touch on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the truth of the matter is, I've covered cognitive errors, one to do with belief perseverance, and the other to do with how we process information. There are so many different examples of these cognitive errors. And if listeners want to know more, you can go and read up on it, read up on all the different types. There are so many different types, and that makes it so clear as to why, generally speaking, we are bad stock pickers, even though we can do all the technical analysis, fundamental analysis. Chances are our human side will always come out. Sticking on the human side, moving away from cognitive errors, the other half that makes us really bad stock pickers is to do with our emotional biases, right? We are human beings. What makes us very different from animals, for example, is our emotions and how they play a part in our decision making. And at first, I think people will hear, "Oh, you've got emotional biases," and I'm a good person that knows how to manage my emotions. I'm emotionally intelligent, but you'd be very surprised about some of the biases that you have that are sat in your subconscious, for example. So I'll go through some examples again. Again, there's many, many different types, but I've picked up a few that I could relate to. And you, Peter, you tell me if you relate to some of these as well. So one is one you may have heard of. It's called loss aversion. And essentially, loss aversion, again, when we talk about emotional biases, is when we attach a higher weight to losses than gains. So what that means is, let's say I gave you £10. Yes, you'd be excited, you'd be thankful, but you place a certain level of weight to how excited you feel. However, if you had lost £10 of your own money, the level of despair or frustration that you would demonstrate has a higher weight, higher magnitude attached to it. Right. And that shouldn't be the case because mathematically and rationally speaking, £10 is £10. If you gain £10, you should, place the appropriate weight. If you lose £10, you should place the appropriate weight. But most people place a higher weight on the loss ahead of the gain. Where that plays a part in making the average person a very bad stock picker is to do with the fact that they may buy a stock. And that stock, may have been going down for whatever reason. And so, and that reason, by the way, could be, the right reasons, right? So the company's not performing, it's not delivering on its promises, et cetera. However, you know that if you sell the stock at this price, You are making the loss a reality. You're crystallizing the loss. And that is a painful experience. So even though rationally you know that it's probably a good time to move on from the stock and probably buy something else, you kind of just wait to and hope that the stock will just bounce back up because of the pain of that loss. So that's loss aversion.
Every well, I'm gonna make the assumption, but every investor has definitely had that experience at some stage in their journey.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's one of those. It's one of those that I still struggle with. So, it happens to many people just because the pain of loss often feels a bit heavier than the excitement of gain. Yeah. Okay. So there are many others again, and I encourage everyone to go and check them out. Again, you'd be so surprised, and I'm very amazed as to how we function as human beings and how that can really filter into our investing and stock picking. I'll just throw a couple more out there. One, for example, is called the endowment bias. And an endowment bias is essentially where an asset that you hold is just felt special and valuable simply because you already own it. Right. So it's a bit different from loss aversion, but this is just to do with the fact that you've basically fallen in love with the stock, right? You've built a relationship, you've married the stock. And it could just be because you like the logo. It could be that you inherited the stock from a partner who's passed away, for example. And so you have a relationship with the stock that has absolutely nothing to do with the fundamentals of the company. But just because you already own it, you're not really willing to sell it to crystallize the proceeds or to invest in something else. Quite frankly, because you enjoy it and you just like the company for whatever reason.
That's real, man. That's real, man. And yeah, man, again, like
Yeah.
there could be some sort of sentimental value around it. But again, what we're really talking about on this podcast is the reason why some people can be quite bad stock pickers. Our emotions can get in the way, and this isn't an emotional game, unfortunately. And Jax is so real, man. I think I was just saying it's so real. I was trying to give the example in general around things like food, for example. The formula for losing weight or gaining weight, if that's it, is very simple. We know if you want to lose weight, you consume less calories than your body's burning and all of that stuff, right? However, the behavioral side of things, the actual art of doing it, becomes a challenge because there's so many other challenges is that prevents us from trying to achieve that target. Same thing with managing our finances, same thing with investing. The formula is there, is the education piece is there for us to learn, but our behaviors get in the way, man.
And like I've been saying, the behaviors is not it's quite universal for most people.
Absolutely.
It's something that maybe you may not have some of these biases as aggressive as other people, but you might just have it as a bit. And so I think for me, it's just really important to be aware of these emotional and cognitive errors that really affect our decision making in all areas of our life, actually. We're speaking about stock picking, but like you've just said, these things really find themselves in our behaviors when it comes to almost all decision making. Going back to the emotional biases, there are some that you hear it and you can kind of like related to just to things like laziness, right? So for example, there's one called a status quo bias, which basically says people just prefer not to make a decision. We prefer not to have to make a decision. We like things to just remain the way they are, even if we intuitively know that the decision that we should make will actually be helpful for us. So like you said, the example I give is people know that investing through their pension is a very tax efficient way of building long-term wealth in order to retire comfortably. But most people actually won't actually join their company pension scheme. And we saw it historically before April 2012 here in the UK. Most people are not interested. And that's why auto enrollment came in place. And now that auto enrollment has come in place, we see that over time, more and more people have actually, become people who invest in their pensions. That there are more and more people actually investing in their pensions because they've not had to make that decision. It's been made for them. And in fact, the decision to opt out is also part of the status quo bias, right? They're just not willing to opt out. They just would prefer to keep things how they are. So status quo bias is very, very, very common with a lot of people. Most people just are not willing to make a decision. You can call it laziness. I don't think it's laziness. I think people are just scared of getting it
Yeah,
wrong.
exactly.
Exactly. And that is also linked to another type of emotional bias called regret aversion, which is just the fear of getting it wrong. So yeah, there's so many, Peter, and we can spend a whole episode going through all these different errors and different emotional biases. And I encourage everybody to go and have a read. You'd be so surprised as to how many they are. There are literally up to like hundreds, I think. And
Wow.
it really highlights what makes us human and
Yeah,
what makes
yeah.
us quite irrational.
And you know what? And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier on. We all have biases. I don't care who you are, and we all have biases. Some are challenged, some go unchallenged, but ultimately it's really actually about discovering ourselves and becoming much more aware. Because this is allowing us to understand our relationship to money in general, but it crossed all bands of life. It's not just about money here, but obviously this is a personal finance podcast, so that's so important, man. But Jax, I am gonna actually ask you, we said it's about being aware, but is there anything else we can do with this information when it comes to considering investing our money in stocks? Have a think about that, but before we do that, let's do a quick shout out to where we're getting listeners from. And this area is called Papamoa, which is a city in New Zealand.
Oh wow. I'm not sure if that's our first few listeners from New Zealand. I know we had listeners from
Think we've had a couple
Australia.
still.
Really? Okay. Welcome to the World Finance Podcast. You are here with myself, Jax, and the co-host Peter. On this podcast, we talk about all things finance and all things finance related. If you want to know more about what we do, because World Finance is more than just a podcast, we serve in the community. Head over to www.worldfinance.co.uk. That's www.worldfinance.co.uk. And if you want to engage with us on socials, we are predominantly on Instagram. That will be at World Finance Team. Again, that's at World Finance Team. And we are also on LinkedIn. So if you search for World Finance Team, you are sure to find us. I hope you are enjoying this episode and I hope you are gaining tons of value.
Come on, come on, come on. Shout out to our listeners over in Papamoa. On the images on Google, I just see beaches everywhere. That's all I can literally see. It looks really lovely. But I'm really actually wondering what are those listeners doing? They're just chilling on the beach listening to this episode, man. But yeah, this is a massive shout out to you as well. And Jax, obviously with this particular episode, we're talking about investing in stocks. Might be a good time to just plug one of the investing platforms that we use actually, so our listeners can get access to a free share should they want to use it.
Yeah, so if you are based in the UK, there is a platform that both myself and Peter use for our investing, amongst other platforms, and that will be Trading 212. So if you want to know more about Trading 212, you can check them out. We like them. We've been using them. I've been using them personally since 2020 to build a long-term portfolio. And if you want to try it out and get some free shares or have the opportunity of getting free shares up to £100, you can use the link in our bio.
Real, 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 real. Thanks for that, Jax. Now, I did give you a question to think about. A very quick reminder. What can more people do, taking into consideration everything we've been speaking about? What can people do, to become better stock pickers?
So I think the first one is the awareness of our emotional biases and our cognitive errors. When you are aware of it, then you can factor that into your thinking, right? But like I said earlier, awareness is not enough because ultimately these are things that are quite ingrained in us. And so chances of even being aware of it is not enough. My advice is that to, somewhat diminish the opportunity for making emotional decisions or making cognitive errors is to kind of slow down or minimize, that's what I'm looking for, minimize the opportunities to tinker with our investments. There's that. But even then, again, like I said earlier, you may be kind of showcasing some biases as well. I believe in automation. I think automation is a great way to remove some of the biases that come with having to make decisions. I believe in setting up, let's say, algorithms and stuff like that. If you can create some sort of formula or create some sort of system, then absolutely that helps to remove some of the decisions that you would have to make. So there's that. I think automation is great. But I also think most people, like I said, probably want to invest in a way that they don't have to just invest in individual stocks. So investing in mutual funds, index funds, are ways in which you can have great access to the stock market. And even then, you may still be exposed to some of these errors. But generally speaking, the decision of the investments is made by someone else. So if it's a mutual fund, it's made by the fund manager. If it's an index fund, it just tracks an existing index. And if you still believe you want to invest in individual stocks, you can absolutely do so. I've just mentioned that I still invest in individual stocks using Trading 212, but then the majority of my portfolio will still be in pooled index funds and mutual funds, which means I'm using something called a core satellite approach, which means the core of my portfolio, the majority, the high percentage of my portfolio remains in funds. And then I can invest in individual stocks as well. So I think that's what one of the best ways to at least minimize our, what's what I'm looking for, our inability to make certain decisions.
And I guess based on our biases, which now hopefully our listeners know that we all have, anyone denying it, you are just lying to yourself. But no, Jax, that was really, really good. And you mentioned, the usually a really good strategy and approach to investing is having, the core of your portfolio in some sort of funds as well. And for our listeners, if you want to know a bit more about funds, we've done quite a few episodes on funds. So you can check out episode 48, which is actually called Stock Picking versus Index Funds, which one? We've also done an episode just called Buy the Haystack, Not the Needle, The Case for Funds. That's episode 32 and 33. So definitely replay those episodes. If you think you've heard it before, replay again, man. You might hear something new as well. So now, Jax, that was really, really useful. But Jax, this has really been a good episode, man. Any final things before I let you go?
Yeah, I think the key thing is always to remember that we all have our biases. We can't completely get away from them. That's just an absolute truth. But being aware of them and setting up systems so that we don't fall victim to them is a great way to go.
Love that, love that. Fantastic way to go. And on that note, we are going to go and leave our listeners. Remember all,
Stay
stay woke.
woke.